You hear that, Yoni? You hear that?
If you have no other time to do it, and it's like a davar ha'avid, so then perhaps you could be lenient, but it's definitely try to get everything done before Chatzos. Now, okay, so that's Tav Samach Ches, and let's go to Tav Samach Tes. Tav Samach Tes is an interesting halacha. You're not allowed and you should not designate the meat that you have for the Seder and say, this is for Pesach, because it's like you're making a carbon, right? We have the mitzvah carbon Pesach, which in Mitzvah we will have. And if it comes right, if Mashiach comes now, we still can become Tahar, because we need 7 days. So it could happen. But if it's not in the next 24 hours, so then we will be Tame, we won't be able to bring the carbon Pesach. So it's like now or never, not now or never, but now or next year for the carbon Pesach. But the point is that when you do have the carbon Pesach, you take the sheep and you say, you're making kaddish, this is for the carbon Pesach. That's something which you should not be doing to your meat. When you buy meat for Pesach, you should not say, this is for Pesach, because it could be like sounding like you're making hekdesh, like you're making carbon. That's a lacha that's discussed over here in Siman Tav Samach Tes. Also, you should not be cooking a full goat. I know it's very tempting for some of you, but do not cook a full goat. Have it cut up, and then you cook it. That is Tav Samach Tes. Now let's move on to Tav Ayin. Tav Ayin is very tricky this year especially. It is the fast of the Bechor. Okay, so here's the way it goes. The 10th plague in Mitzrayim was Makas Bechoris, which means Hashem decreed and killed all the firstborn of the Mitzrayim. And Hashem saved all the firstborn of the Jews. And because of that, we have a fast, Erev Pesach. The question is, what's behind that fast? What's the lumdus behind that fast? So Pashup Shat is like this. It's just the Bechor is thankful that they were saved. And therefore, as a zecher for the nes of being saved, they fast. Now, that's very rare. Very rare do you have a zecher of a nes that you fast. Normally, when there's a zecher of a nes, you have a party. Here, it's a zecher of a nes, they're fasting. So this doesn't really make so much sense. And a lot of achrayim are very bothered by this. What does one have to do with the other? So they want to say a little bit different. They want to say in the time of Mitzrayim, the Jewish Bechors fasted because they knew there was this gezeira on the Egyptian, on the Mitzrayim Bechor, and we'll see soon in a second. They were nervous that would apply to them, and therefore the question is, Moshe Smith, why is there a Tainus Bechor? The reason is because even the Bechors fasted in Mitzrayim. First pshat was the reason why there's a Tainus Bechor is a zecher to the nes of being saved. But that's very odd that there's rarely a fast to remember a nes. Instead, they want to say it's more like Tainus Esther. What happened by Tainus Esther? The Jews fasted, so we have a commemorating fast as well. That's what is happening by the Bechor. The Bechor in Mitzrayim, the Chassam Sofer says, the Bechoris in Mitzrayim fasted because they were nervous it would happen to them. So therefore, as a commemoration of that fast, the Bechors today also fast. Now, this will lead into Rabbi Klein's question, which I attempted to answer last night, and he let me know that I did not do a good enough job, and he requested that I do a better job today. So I will attempt, and I'll find out later if I did a good job, that why is it by the first 9 Makkos, the 9 Makkos happened to the Mitzrayim and didn't happen to the Bnei Yisrael, and there was no fast, there was no pachad amongst the Jews, oh no, maybe Dam is going to come, maybe the frogs are going to come, maybe Dever, nothing. How come by number 10, by Makkos Bechoris, all of a sudden the Bechors are very nervous, and like we're saying now, they even fasted. What was it? Why was it? By Makkos Bechoris, did all of a sudden the Jewish Bechor seem threatened? No other time, other Makkos were we threatened. But the answer I gave last night was not directly addressing that point, so I will try to address it now. If you look in the Pesukim, Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jews, do not go out that night. That was not said by any of the other nine makas. Right? We're not told don't drink your water, it's going to be blood. That's not true. We weren't told hide your animals because pestilence is coming. We weren't told watch out from the lions and tigers and the bears. We weren't warned. So there was something special about makas b'chayres. Only here the Moshe Rabbeinu warn us. What I would like to say is that there was obviously a threat. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Jews were threatened. The Jewish Bukhars were also threatened. Why is that? Perhaps 80% of the Jewish people were knocked out during Makas Choshech. That means there was 80% that were not so worthy. 80% that were not worthy of getting redeemed, and they were killed during Choshech. Perhaps those 20% that remained were not necessarily on the highest level as well. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew, even though it's a makkah for the Bukhar of the Mitzrim, but there may also be a pending threat for the Jewish Bukhar. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu warned them, do not go out of your house. And that's why they needed a special schus of putting the dam on the doorpost to protect them. So that was what was going on during this night, Makas Bukharis and Mitzrayim. Because of that, they fasted. Not only do they stay in their houses, but the Jewish Bukhars fasted. And as a zecher to that fast, we have a fast as well for the Bukhara. Now, Shulchan Aruch brings down that whether you are Bukhara from the father or Bukhara from the mother, you should be fasting. It even brings down a sheet that the girl, the firstborn girl, should fast. We do not paskin like that. We paskin that the first, yeah, you're okay. We paskin that the firstborn girls do not fast. It's a good shy, why not? Mishnah discusses it, but bottom line is only the firstborn males fast. However, another halacha brought down is a father should fast for his firstborn son. So let's say you have a firstborn boy. So then, even though the father is not a firstborn, he should be fasting for his son. There's discussion what happens if the father is a firstborn and his son's also a firstborn. So really, the father has to fast for himself, and he also has to fast for his son. So some say, the Shulchan brings down that maybe the mother should be fasting in that case. So the father fasts for himself, and the mother fasts for the firstborn son. It's a discussion. Now, to avoid all the shyness,
what is this, a bunch of liberal leftists, Rebbe? What the heck just happened to Yiddishkeit?
Mute. Now, what we do over here, right? Very good, lady, you got it. Now, what we do over here is, that we avoid the fast, we avoid the shayla, and we make sure that everyone has a seum. And that would avoid the shayla. If the mother was the one that had to fast, she should be hearing a seum as well, based on this.
Yeah, you should hear a seum.
Right.
You should hear a seum.
Shmuel, mute. Oh, now.
That's awkward.
That's right. Now, like this. Here's the way this goes. So in normal years, what happens is everyone goes to shul, you hear the siyum, and you eat, and you go home, and you're happy. Now this year, most likely, no one here will be going to any minyan. So what do you do about a siyum? Okay, so what should be done is like this. Everyone that's listening in is smart enough to make their own siyum. So go right ahead. You have 7 days. Pick like a small masechta, Baba Basra or something like that. It's only 176 plot. Pick some masechta that you can finish the next 7 days and do it. Now, if for some reason you can't make a siyum Baba Basra, so you can pick the smallest masechta, which Aaron Lieberman and Zach Rosen has told me before, which would be masechta Tamid. It happens to be the shortest, pretty easy, pretty interesting as well. And you can learn it up. It's around 7 or 8 plot. A lot of Mishnayos, you could learn it up and finish it between now and it would be Wednesday. So make a seum on that. You can make a seum.
Rabbi Klein does not approve this message.
You can make the seum by yourself. Lady, don't you have a date tonight or something? You can make the seum by yourself in the comfort of your own home. You do not need a minion. You do not say Kaddish. You make the seum and then you go eat. Okay, that is what the seum will look like this year. Now, as far as making other things besides a masechta and shas, the best would be to make it on a masechta and shas. If you can't, you can make it on a whole Seder of Mishnayos. A whole Seder of Mishnayos, meaning there are six Sedarim, right? That's why Shishas is in Mishnah. Nashim, Nezikin are the shorter ones, easier ones. So you can make it on them. Now, I'll get to that in a second, Mary. Now, here's a question. You do not need to have bread by the Suda, Aaron. You can have any food you want. The question is, can you make a Siyum on one Masechta of Mishnayos? So the best is a Masechta and Gemara. The second best would be a whole Seder Mishnayos. To make it on one Masechta of Mishnayos, normally we do not let you make a Siyum on that. In this case, not just this year, but for this fast, you would be allowed to make a Siyum on one Masechta as long as you learned it really well, which means with the Bar Tanura and the Taisus Yamtiv. If you learn one Masechta Mishnayos with Bar Tanura and Taisus Yamtiv, you really know it well, that will create a Simcha, and you can make a Siyum on that. Now, as far as the question, let's say you're not able to do that. Can you make a Siyum on Zoom for many people or listen on the phone? Good question, Mary. The answer is like this. A Perek of Gemara will not work, Moshe. It has to be a Masechta. So now, I asked this question to my Rebbe, and he told me absolutely you can make a Siyum on a computer on the phone. Because when you're all together, whether you're listening or whether you're seeing, you become part of the Simcha. We actually had that 2 days ago. My niece made a bris for my great nephew. And even though it was only a mile away, we couldn't go. There was only the mother, the father, and the male at this bris. But there were around 40 different cousins and aunts and uncles on Zoom watching and listening. And we all felt like we were there. You're part of the Simcha. And therefore, by the Siyum as well, you can listen in or Zoom in to someone else's Siyum, be part of the Simcha. And then you could eat as well. Okay, that takes us through Taf Ayin. Taf Ayin Aleph discusses what you're allowed to eat on Erev Pesach. Meaning, let's say you do not need to fast. Let's say you do not. A Siyum is good because it makes it like a Sudas Yantif, and it's a whole big shebang, Vinci. But a Suda gets you out of a fast. But now let's say you are not fasting because you're not a Bechor, or you are a Bechor and you had the Siyum. Taf Ayin Aleph discusses what you're allowed to eat on Erev Pesach. And the answer is you're not allowed to eat very much on Erev Pesach. What you are allowed to eat is fish and fruits, meats and cheeses. That you're allowed to eat. You're not allowed to have matzah all day. No matzah all day at all. It's Aser. Sometimes the men are not eating matzah even from Rosh Chodesh. But for sure, Erev Pesach, it's Aser to have matzah. So therefore, you can't have matzah, you can't have bread after the fourth hour, right? You can have bread the first 4 hours. After the fourth hour, no bread. So there's no matzah, there's no bread, only these other things. Now the big shaila is, what about matzah meal and things that are made from matzah meal? And what seems to come out is, knedelach, matzah balls that are cooked in water, those are okay. But matzah meal cakes, things that are made, that are baked, those things cannot be eaten. So therefore, the only mezainis that you can be making from the fourth hour and on would be matzah balls, really, and nothing else. Okay? So therefore, you cannot have kinyas, you cannot have chametz. And therefore, that you will be pretty hungry, so even if you're not fasting, this is all you could eat. And that is Taf Ayin Aleph. I mentioned tomorrow we'll start Taf Ayin Beis with the Seder. Let me wrap up some of the riddles from yesterday and some new riddles for today. Yesterday we asked, why is there no Chol HaMoed by Shavuos? There's only a Chol HaMoed by Sukkos and a Chol HaMoed by Pesach. So I'll give you two answers. One answer is that the Maharil says that the reason for Chol HaMoed is to be able to learn the halachas and the Torah for that yontif. Sukkah has a whole mesechta sukkah. Pesach has a whole mesechta psachim. There's so much to learn, and that's why there's a Chol HaMoed. Whereas Shavuos, there's no mesechta Shavuos on the yontif Shavuos. Mesechta Shavuos is about vows, not Shavuos, but oaths, I mean. Anyway, so there's no Masechta on Shavuos. Shavuos itself has very few halachas, and therefore there's no reason for a Chol HaMoed. That would be the pshat like the Ma'aril. A different pshat and a very eye-opening pshat is Pesach, a lady. Oh, you weren't here yesterday, lady. The question we're coming to answer is, why is there no Chol HaMoed for Shavuos? And there only is a Chol HaMoed by Sukkot and Pesach. So one answer I gave already, I'll give you the second answer. The second answer is that some want to say the Sviras HaOmer is the Chol HaMoed for Pesach. That Pesach and Shavuos are linked, and the whole Sviras HaOmer is one long Chol HaMoed. And a little remise to that is by Shmini Atzeres, we make a Shachiyanu. It's its own yantif. It's a standalone yantif. So Sukkot has ended, and Shmini Atzeres starts. Chol HaMoed is the bridge. Over here by Pesach, we do not make a Shechiyanu on the seventh day of Pesach. The seventh day of Pesach is not a new yantif. It's one long Pesach. So really, the TBM says this. So really, the long Pesach is 7 days. Sviras HaOmer is like the Chol HaMoed. Obviously, it's a little bit different. And Shavuos is like the grand finale. Anyway, it's a thought to think of. Think about it. Now, one other thing. Yeah, the other shot we asked yesterday is the Mordechai's question. Why, lady, this was yesterday's question. Why do, because of the four lishainess of Geula, why do we have four cups of wine? We should really have four matzahs. What does wine have to do with the four lishainess of Geula? So the Mordechai answers that besides the four lishainess of Geula, throughout Tanakh, and he knew Tanakh well, there are four kaisais mentioned in Tanakh referring to Yeshuas, to salvations. Kaisi Shuas Esa, Kaisi Revaya, Menas Chelki Vekaisi. He goes through and lists four different types of kaisais that are Yeshua. And because of that, we have our four cups of wine. So when you have your four cups of wine, have two things in mind. The four of the shyness of Geula, and also the fact that a kais in Tanakh represents four times different salvations. Okay, that was yesterday. Now tonight's riddle is the following. Okay, here. You're not allowed to shave during Chol HaMoed. I have one case where you're not allowed to shave your whole beard, but you would be allowed to shave only half of your face. You got it? You will not be allowed to shave your whole beard, but you will be allowed to shave only half of your face. What would it say? Right now, I need a full shave. But let's say someone, I have a scenario where you cannot shave the whole beard in Chol HaMoed, but you could shave only half of your face. We'll think about it. Talk about it tomorrow. And as far as Alam D'Shashayla is like this, what happens if someone is a ger, does he fast Tainus Bechar? I'll explain like this. We discussed tonight, right? The Bechar, because of what happened in Mitzrayim, they fast. Now, he's a Bechar, but he was perhaps even a Mitzri, or perhaps some other nation, but he wasn't a Jew, and his forefathers weren't Jews. Should he be fasting on Tainus Bechar and Erev Pesach? Does he need to see him or not? Now, I'm going to ask it two ways. I'm going to ask it if he himself is a Bechar to his Jewish parents. And I'm going to ask it even if he's not a Bechar to his Jewish parents. Let's say he was a 10th child to his Goyish parents. But now that he converted, he's like born again. Now he was just born now. And there's no one above him. He's the only one. So I'm going to ask it a double way. If he is a Bechar from his Goyish parents, should he fast? And even if he's not, should he fast? I happen to know a Garrett right now a block away from me. I'm thinking about asking him what he's doing this year. Anyway, but something, a Shiloh to think about. Now, I'll just give you a shot on the Haggadah. We have the four sons. Chacham, Rasha, Tam, Enodei, Elishol. If you take a look in the Haggadah, it's interesting. By the Chacham, it says Mahu Omer, by all four of them, or sorry, three of them. It says Mahu Omer, Mahu Omer, Mahu Omer. And it says what they asked. by the Chacham, it says what he asked. And then it says, V'af ata emor loy. And also you should say to him, Hilchas Pesach. By the Rasha, the same thing. Rasha, mahu oimer, what does he say? And then it says what he says. And it says, V'af ata, and also you should knock out his teeth. By the Tam, it says, what does he say? And it says, what do you tell him? By the end of the Elisha, it says, you tell him. It doesn't have this, V'af ata emor loy. It doesn't have this added, and also you should tell him. What's going on? Why by the Chacham, the Rasha, does it have that, but not by the Tam and the Elishol? So this Shaila, my wife's uncle, who actually was Nifter a few months ago, Paul Eichenstein, asked me this question a few years ago, and he said a very nice answer, which is, if you take a look, and it's the Barbara Nell's question, thank you, Dr. Roman. If you take a look by a Chacham and a Rasha, what he wanted to say is, that, but of course, you're going to tell them what the psukim say. Because if you look in the psukim, they tell you what you're supposed to respond to the Chacham, what were you supposed to respond to the Rasha. So, what it means is, for sure, you're going to say to them what the psukim say. The af, and also, in addition to the psukim, these people, the Chacham and the Rasha, they're smart enough to handle more than just that. So, you can add on, Hilchas Pesach. You can add on to the Rasha, knock out his teeth. You would not have been redeemed. They are smart enough to handle more than just the psukim. Whereas the Tam and the Elishol, they're weaker intelligence, and therefore you don't add on. You just say to them exactly what the psukim say. You say this, no additions. Only the Chacham, you say the psukim, the af, and also you can tell them a little bit more. All right? Have a good night. Imagine tomorrow. Same time, and we'll discuss the Hilchas Seder. Have a good night, my friends.
Hey, you're right.